everyone. Today I have with me Mr. Jochen Raunink, who is the partner of McKinsey. Jochen has been an advisory board member for the European Gas Conference and Energy Council over the past 3 years, and he's been a partner at McKinsey for around 14 years. We're looking forward to his opening keynote at the European Gas Conference, which will provide an overview of the gas market and also gas's position as a long-term fuel in the energy mix. So welcome, Jochen. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you. All good and great that we have this conference this year again, and we're looking forward to participate.
Fantastic.
With a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the purpose of this interview is just to delve in more into your keynote themes so people can get a flavor of what will be shared at EGC. My first question for you is just reflecting on 1 year from the war in Ukraine. So last year in March, we had the keynote from yourself about, and that was just at the time when the war began. A year on, there's some more reflection. I know you went to CERAWeek last week to get an overview from the market as well. How are McKinsey clients adapting to the energy crisis, and how have strategies changed?
No, thank you for the question. I think it's, as you said, interesting times, a lot of shifts, and for sure, I mean, firstly to say that the invasion of Ukraine in February 2022 has deep human as well as social and economic impact across countries and across sectors, that needless to say. However, secondly, also, I think we see that this economic scenarios for 2023, at least on a high level, are probably slightly more optimistic than the previous scenarios, particularly in Europe. And it looks like, let's say, a less deep turn than a quicker rebound than we initially saw last year. However, I think most important is that there is a recognition across clients, across industry leaders, that we are not just in another business cycle, but we are in a structural supply-driven challenge, which we need to solve. And this is something, I think, which is worth noting and worth also discussing, because what I'm saying, that is not just another business cycle, but something more dramatic or more structurally, is also driven by the fact that the things, what are happening, you know, you saw this also in history, but now it's a moment again where a lot of things are happening. World order, China overtakes EU, Russia invades Ukraine, as you said, Ukraine leaves EU, Saudi Arabia and Iran becoming closer, becoming friends.
Mm.
On the technology side, you have artificial intelligence, on demographics, you have a little bit the inflection point on dependencies ratio for many countries and lower or slower growth in China. You have on the resources and energy system side, historical peaks in prices, volatility is never seen. Also underinvestment, I think we are talking about this also. And also in a global economic world, you have China topping a little bit on the growth, Western productivity slowing, and you have inflation, which hasn't been seen since 40 years. So I think it's something different. It's something more structural than our, let's say, usual business cycles.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of things to consider in even just the general gas market for Europe now. It's crazy to think about that. I mean, with the changing dynamics and the loss of Russian gas to Europe, I suppose LNG has been looking as the main way to fill that gap. If we focus specifically on LNG now, as that will be part of your presentation, how viable do you think LNG is to fill that gap in Europe?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think LNG is something we need to discuss, but I want to still make a point before we go into LNG. It's not something which will just solve this LNG. No? And as I said, it's really a deep structural crisis, which we haven't seen since the 70s, no, what we call now oil crisis, where we're short oil, food, and materials. So I think to really solve the crisis, solve structurally the crisis, we'll need to see a very strong supply signal. No? Like in the 70s, we saw Alaska, Gulf of Mexico, Venezuela, Nigeria, Norway, Russia coming on stream. So if we want to solve this crisis we are in now, then it's something which we need to do more than just, you know, LNG imports. But yeah, going to your question around LNG, definitely, no? So LNG is something which is even more today, you know, in society, politics, economy, we are realizing that we need not only sustainable, but also reliable and affordable energy sources. And therefore, it is a mix of energy sources needed. And LNG is part of the energy mix and was replacing in Europe, big part, I think it was 60, 70 BCM of Russia pipe gas in 2022. And also, if you look top down on energy, how was it produced in Europe in 2022? It was not that we have seen a hydro uptick or a renewable uptick or nuclear uptick. No, nuclear was in problems in France on maintenance. Hydro was suffering from low water levels. So what we actually saw is LNG picking up, as you said, no, and gas even growing as the summary, basically. But also coal was growing. And why is it like this? No, as renewables are not being built, takes time and capex, and you cannot just stop the old and not build the new. So very clear, we need LNG. It will be part of our long term, or mid term at least, energy mix. And we will need it to balance our gas demand. But it's not only energy, no, it's also demand reduction / savings. And also the current Russian flows, what we still have with 25 BCM, we need to see if they're still coming next year. And I think all these three things will be needed. Sustain high LNG imports, overall, let's say demand reduction, savings, hopefully, not demand and destruction, but saving, and some flows from Russia still.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I know we'll be developing this a lot more in a couple of weeks' time, but... obviously, you're a fan of the knowledge, you speak to a lot of people, but what are the key takeaways or things that you're looking to hear when you're in Vienna in a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, I think it's a great moment. A lot of industry leaders will be together to check with them how they are seeing, especially for Europe. You talked for Sarah before, you talked on a global scale, but how is she seeing the new era in Europe? How do we see the European role, and how do they see the European role in shaping the new era? Will we be able to find new ways of collaboration? How the geopolitical question will play out? And is Europe positioned well on this? And what can companies do to support, push, or inspire European regulations? And you see this also if you compare now EU's reaction versus US reactions on IRR. So I think interesting time for Europe, interesting time for European Union. So it's great to be together in Vienna and discuss with European leaders their view on this and how we can all help to bring Europe forward.
Brilliant. I'm looking forward to that too. So thank you very much for giving people a taster, and I will speak to you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Looking forward.